Good morning, good afternoon. I'm Christina, the Chorus Call operator for this conference. Welcome to the presentation of results 2010, publication annual report 2010 conference call. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Dr. Thomas Vollmöller, CEO, accompanied by Mr. Lorenzo Trezzini, CFO. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Hello, everybody. This is Lorenzo Trezzini and myself, Thomas Vollmöller. We would like to present to you the results of 2010 of the Valora Group and obviously talk about what is going to happen in this year and the year thereafter concerning our Valora for Growth. What I propose is that we go through the main presentation, which you all have on the Internet, but we will take we will skip a few pages in order to have enough time for questions. We start on page number 5, which gives you a rough overview on what we think happened last year. Overall, we can say it was a good year for Valora for three reasons. First of all, we reached the profitability target that we originally anticipated in 2008. So we grew our EBIT to 2009 by 20%. And what is especially good is that we had a very good and solid performance in the retail division, as well as a rebound, a good rebound in the services division. This is the good results. We had 81 million in EBIT. If you take into account that we have Forex exchange differences between 2008 and 2010 of 8 million, this means we would have had at 2008 currency rates, we would be at 89 million EBIT, which is exactly in the bracket of 85 to 90 million, which we said originally anticipated for 2010. The second good thing about 2010 was that we really could finish more or less our turnaround. We are 80% through with the measures we anticipated, which are turnaround measures. We reduced the cost base of the company by 27 million from our start, which is a significant part of the 36 million we wanted to go down to. And we have a 3 to 4%. We are close to the 3 to 4% EBIT margin, which we anticipated originally. So second good news is the turnaround is nearly complete. And the third message is that we are now ready for growth, and we have done two acquisitions last year, one in Norway, one in Germany, both in the area of 200 million external revenue. Both acquisitions are now integrated. We are very happy with those two acquisitions and give us a good glance in what is going to happen in the next 5 years with our Valora for Growth strategy. Please be so kind and go with me to page number 7. Here you see again the EBIT development over the last years, and what you're seeing is that we have from 2007 we came from 59 million last year's 86 million, now 81 million again, including a negative FX impact of 8 million, and this alone is a 20% increase versus last year, and it would be even higher if you would consider same exchange rates as 2008. On page number 8, you see once more the overview of our numbers. The external sales were more or less stable with plus 0.3%, the slightly negative with minus 0.2%, the EBIT at 81.3, which is 19% increase. The adjusted EBIT is 77.4. What is adjustment? Adjustment at Valora always means excluding the World Championship sticker sales, excluding acquisitions and excluding Forex effects. And the EBIT margins grew to 2.8% from 2.4% in the year before. The net income also rose by 16%, more or less 64 million. Talking a little bit about the revenue, go please to page number 9. What you're seeing is that the revenues, the reported revenues, grew slightly in retail and services and declined significantly in trade. If you again adjust it for championship effects, acquisition effects, and Forex, you see that retail was up 2.3%, which is pretty much the same as like for like in our business, because we didn't have any kind of network increase besides the acquisitions. So this is really comparable. 2.3% in the Swiss German retail market is a very good number. Services is minus 0.6, which again is good given the fact that the press market was in decline by 3% last year. The trade business is down 7%, but this is due to the fact we lost two major accounts in 2008 when we sold our own brands. We knew that we would lose them in 2010. This effect was 80% of this decline of 7% last year. Please go to page number 10. There we look on a divisional base to the EBIT. You see that the EBIT in the retail division now is up to 40 million, which is 2.5% of revenues, which is now getting close to the 3-4% we want to get it. Services is at 4.2%, which is a rebound from last year. We historically always have been in the area of 4-5%. We are now back into 4.2%. Main reason being cost reductions, especially in logistics. And trade is down from a very good year, 2009, to 2.5% last year, from 22 to 18 million. Again, this has to do with the loss of the two accounts last year. Again, 2.5% is in exactly the middle of the bracket we always wanted to be in, of 2.2 to 3% in the trade division. So overall, you can say we have a good, very good performance in retail, a very soft performance in services, and a somewhat disappointing performance in trade. But again, we are in neither of the, we are below the targets we wanted to have. Retail still has to go to 3-4%, services in the bracket, and trade is also in the bracket. If you go to page 11, you see that the major reason for the improvement in profitability comes from cost. We have gone down from cost from 862 in 2008, including 25 million restructuring costs, to 815 last year and 803 this year, or the year 2010. If you exclude acquisitions, if you include foreign exchange, which are the two main drivers behind it, you see that we reduced the cost base between 2010 and 2009 by another 10 million. Take into effect that the same kind of logic was applied the year between 2009 and 2008. We already reduced by 17 million. We've gone down with our cost base compared to 2008 by 27 million, which is a big step of the 36 million we originally anticipated for 2012. So this is the main story. Once again, A, we reached the EBIT we wanted to have. B, we got our cost down significantly and pretty close to what we wanted to have in 2012 already. And three, we have done two very good acquisitions last year, which is the cornerstone for our new growth strategy for the next years, which I will talk to you about later. Before this, I will hand over to Lorenzo, who will tell you a little bit about what the numbers look in detail. Thank you.
Thomas, many thanks. Let me move on page 13. In 2010, Valora increased the external sales by 0.3% to 2.95 billion Swiss francs. Stripping out the special factors due to FX rates, World Cup picture cards, and acquisitions, Valora adjusted net revenues were in fact 0.2% down on 2009 levels. Gross profits were up 0.9% or 7.6 million versus 2009. This increase is due to the important improvement in the gross profit margin from 29.9% to 30.4%. Further positive progress was achieved on the operating cost front, as Valora managed to cut this cost by 13 million Swiss francs. In aggregate, Valora managed to raise operating profit by 19% to reach 81.3 million Swiss francs. The group raised also the EBIT margin from 2.4 to 2.8%, up to 0.4 percentage point. So let me move now on the single division, page 14. The retail division adjusted revenues for special factors like World Cup, Forex, and acquisition were up to 2.3% or 36 million Swiss francs. All national subsidiaries and all formats, except for Spettacolo, contribute to this positive trend. In sales by product group, the biggest increase was by food with 7.2% and tobacco up to 4.3%. Thanks to streamlined staff and lower logistic costs, the division managed to cut its operating costs by 3.8 million Swiss francs. And in aggregate, we see that Valora managed to raise its operating costs by 40% to 39.8 million. Let me move now on page 15. The service division increased its net revenues year on year by 0.8% to 780 million Swiss francs. And after adjusting for special factors, we see a modest decline of 0.6%, which is mainly due to books and press sales. Operating costs, we see that overall Valora Service succeeds in cutting its operating costs by nearly 10% to 118 million Swiss francs, which was mainly due to efficiency gains in internal and external logistics and lower administrative costs. The division overall operating profit was 30.3 million Swiss francs, an improvement of 86% versus 2009. If we move to page 16, we see that the adjusted net revenues of trade were lower by 6.7% than last year. This decline is the result of the expiration of distribution contracts with the Valora own brands firms and the greater emphasis which we have placed on the commission-based business. In aggregate, the division generated in 2010 an operating profit of 17.7 million, which is a slightly decline compared to 2009. Let me move now on the net income side. The historic low level of interest rates and the market depreciation of the euro and the Danish krona versus the Swiss francs are reflected in the results of Valora in its financing operation, which went down by 2.6 million Swiss francs. The overall tax rate for 2010 was 16.8%, slightly up on the year before, but below the long expected average rate of 18%. The group net income for 2010 was 63.6 million Swiss francs, an increase of 16% on 2009. Now let me move on page 18. The year-end cash was below the year before by 31 million Swiss francs. This reduction is due to deadline-specific investment in the net working capital and due also to the acquisition of EMH and Tabacon during the last quarter of 2010. With the net debt of 14 million Swiss francs, Valora was very solid financed. The equity cover of 43.6% of total assets is a very strong value which will allow Valora for succeed in the Valora for Growth strategy. And now let me hand over to Thomas for the
Valora for Growth. Thanks, Lorenzo. I think when you look at the numbers, you can also acknowledge that the numbers for 2010 were very good numbers for Valora. If you look now going into 2011 and the years thereafter, we will have to reflect what Valora for Growth will look like. In order to lead you through, we go please to page number 21, where you see Valora for Growth strategy once more in the overview. Valora for Growth has four cornerstones. First of all is an organic margin growth by 0.2% per year. We reached last year 0.4% and over the last 3 years on average also 0.2%. So we feel that the organic margin growth, we were very successful in the last years, and we have a few ideas what to do in this area in the next years, and I will tell you about in a short time. Organic revenue growth, those 2% per year is a big challenge. We know that last year we didn't reach, we had a 0%, as you have seen, so growing organically by 2% does need an extra effort, and we will tell you a little bit later about what we are thinking of it. And then you have two inorganic growth strategies. One is leading retail and services to be the European micro retailer with about five to six formats. Here we told you that we want to grow by about 150 million every year external revenues. Last year we bought Tabacon, which is 130 million external revenues. In trade, we want to grow by about 100 million a year. And there we bought last year EMH, which is a 75 million business, but it shows you that this is the kind of targets we are looking in when we're going forward. Let me lead you step by step from G1 to G4 and start on page number 22 with G1. The 0.2% that we have reached in the last years came mainly from three major parts. One was the re-engineering of logistics. The other one was really streamlining our staff in the kiosks and the outlets. And number three was centralizing the headquarters and slimming down the headquarters by about 100 FTEs in the last 3 years. Obviously, these kind of effects will not be the same in the next years. What will be the effects or what will be the measures to get 0.2% better in the years to come? One is that we want to implement our agency model, which we had been testing last year in Switzerland for our kiosks, which is the majority of our retail business. The other one is that we will be improving our purchasing and promotions processes significantly, and we have some indications that this will bring us significant money. And number three is that we will continue and enhance even our force to nearshore and outsource central functions out of Switzerland. All three together, we are sure, will give us another 0.2% per year as margin increase. If you go on page 23, feeling on what the agency model looks like as an example of G1. We had been testing in the last years in several kiosks, and we have now 15 kiosks already live. And by seeing that we can motivate and get entrepreneurial spirit in our kiosk, and by the model pay our agency leaders, agents, we saw that the sales were increasing by 5%, the personnel costs were going down by 5%. This means we gaining 2.5 percentage points per store, which is, if you take a 1 million as average for a store, about 25,000 per store per year on our side. And since it's a win-win situation, we also saw that the agency, the head of the agency, is gaining another 10% on his salary. So it's a classical win-win situation by getting more entrepreneurial spirit into those kiosks. We know that all other big kiosk chains in Europe are using agency models or franchise models intensively. We are the only one who hadn't been doing this. So by doing this, we see that this is a significant measure to improve our, enhance our profitability. If you see the numbers, we want to have 100 stores by the end of this year, 200 stores by the end of next year, and 300 stores by the end of 2015. And if you multiply this out by average 25,000, you see on average per year, this is 1 million for this year, 3 to 4 million in 2012, and about 6 million in 2015. So this was G1, and agencies is one example of how we want to improve our margin further. If you go on page number 25, you see in an overview what is on organic growth. Obviously, we are in not growing markets, so any organic growth has to come from ourselves, from innovation, and from new product, because press is a declining market, tobacco is a stagnant market, so there is we have to create own measures in order to grow our revenue organically, like we have done in the last years by, for instance, introducing our private label brand. We had a 7% increase in our kiosks in the food business, and this is due to the fact that we really enhanced our food presence in the kiosk, both with OK and with other food products. We also extended the range of services in the kiosk, which gave us another 15 million. What will be the measures to increase by 2% our organically our revenue in the next years? In the retail division, it will be additional services and products. It will be in our convenience business. We will import more gastronomy, so this will help us. In the trade business, we have to get new principals on board, and we are in many discussions on getting our principal, increase our principal base. And in services, having a negative market for press, we will have to find new services for our clients on the retail side, as well as B, our media companies, such, for instance, being new services in the sales department, also some logistics services. We are the best and most performant logistics company in the early morning logistics here in Switzerland, and we have just made one big deal in bringing new products in the morning at 6 o'clock to different stores, and we will enhance this issue in order to contribute or to use our early morning logistics and make more services here. This is page number 25. Let me move on to G3, page number 26. Inorganic growth in the retail division will come from two things in the next years. One is obviously, and that's what we told you in November, consolidating the German kiosk market by getting another 800 stores on top of the 200 stores we have today. And the second thing is to buy one or two travel retail formats like tapeterie, like bijouterie, like bakeries. Those two things should give us 150 to 200 million per year on as additional revenue from the outside. We have done the Tebecon acquisition last year with 130 million, and this is a one indication how these kind of acquisitions will look like. If you go to page 27, you see a little bit what Tebecon looks like, a little bit more deeper look than we have shown you in November. Why did we buy Tebecon? It's a nationwide footprint. It has a very strong presence in the shopping center entrances. It has a very professional and probably the best franchise model available on the German market. It was relatively simple to integrate in our existing German organization. And what we see is a potential for product range optimization, which gives us another value addition in the next years. If you go on those pie charts on the bottom, see that the kiosk on the left side today in Switzerland has about 50% tobacco sales, 23% press sales, and 21% food and non-food sales. And if you compare this to Tebecon, you see that they are at three-quarters of the business is tobacco, while press is only 15%, and food non is even only 6%. So making this assortment more going to the more valuable assortments like press or like food, non-food especially, will help to improve our profitability in those stores. That's the rationale why we bought into Tebecon. Plus, obviously, when we get into 1,000 stores in Germany, we get much more power towards our suppliers. This is a major, major part of our discussion. Okay, let me go to page number 28, which is showing the trade acquisition strategy. We have done EMH last year, which was 75 million a year, which is a new category for us in a growing market. They are a dominant player in the Norwegian cosmetics market. That's exactly one of the strategies we want to go in, finding distributors with new growing categories in existing markets. We have a second strategy, which is acquiring leading distributors in new markets like the Baltics or South Europe. Both strategies together should per year give us another 100 to 150 million revenues in the years to come. On page 29, you see once more the example of EMH, but what is, you already have in your presentation now a new company which we bought yesterday, which is Salty Snack, which is a very small company, only 12 million revenues, but it gives you a feeling on how the strategy is set into place in the next years. It's a small company in Germany in a business which is savory snacks. Instead of sweet snacks, where we are strong in today, which is a relatively stagnant market, we know that savory snacks is a growing market in the last years, as you see in the bottom numbers, with 18% between 2007 and 2010. This company here is selling savory snacks. It's a family-run business, very close to our current business, regionally very close to our current business today in Germany, so we can get good synergies. It's a niche player, very strong market growth in the last years and with good synergies. It had a much above average margin, above 4% in the in the last years. And what I can also tell you, it's we got it at a better EBIT multiple than the 6-9% that we promised to you in November. This is Salty Snacks. It just came in yesterday, so I thought I'd show you this example as an example of how G4 will look like in the next years. So before we're looking into the next years, let's look into 2011. What does 2011 look like? What we're seeing is that we're having a demand environment currently. One is that we have a weak press market currently. We have a weak press market for a long time, but especially in the last half year, we see that we had not only minus 2-3% negative growth in press, but we have we are in the area of minus 5%. We don't think it's sustainable, but we certainly don't know. So that's something that makes us a little bit cautious. We see that we have a very weak euro Swiss franc relation, which alone costs us 2 million if it stays at the level where it is now. We have the political hazards. You know that we are connected with Tamoil, which is a Libyan owned company, which doesn't really help these days again. Plus, we have no football championship this year, which cost us 6 million, or which gained where we gained last year 6 million. So overall, I would say to make it a rough number, we have 10 million against us this year. What we promised to you is that we will be compensating for those 10 million and make more for that. How much it will be depending very much what we are acquiring this year and when we will be acquiring this. So the only thing we can tell you today is that we are certain to be above the last year's result. We don't know exactly how much it will be. On the other side, we can promise you that we stay, and we are very confident next year we will make the 110 to 130 million. If you take into account that we need to acquire at least 600. If we have today an external revenue of 3.1 million, if you take EMH and Tabacon in for full, and we want to have 3.7 billion next year, this means that we have to acquire 600 million in external revenues, given a 3%, 3 to 4% margin. This is 20 million alone. If you think of having a world championship again next year, that's another 5 million, gives you 25 million, and you're seeing we are getting with whatever comes from Valora for Growth this year and next year, we are getting very good into the range of 110 to 130 million next year. Again, for this year, we are a little bit cautious right now, given the fact we have a weak press market, a weak euro relation, and political hazards right now. So we don't exactly know where we'll end up by the end of this year. Okay, that's more or less the story for 2011. If you go to page 32, please, you find the summary again, what I told you before. I think we are happy with where we stand in terms of EBIT margin. I think we are happy with where Valora for Success has brought us. We have first major milestones given the acquisitions of Tabacon and EMH. And we know that the further expansion is going to be happening, and we can promise to you it will be done with due care and only when the prerequisite of added value for our shareholders are met. What the board is recommending to the AGM in April is that we will increase the dividend by 15% to 11.50 francs, and that we will try to get more flexibility in our capital structure in order to be sure that we can have the right capital at the right time when the opportunities come up. So if we do have enough, too much funds, we will be able to carry out a share buyback in order to give back the money to the shareholders. On the other side, if 2, 3, 4 bigger deals come up at the same time, we want to be able to carry out an approved capital increase of about 840,000 shares, which is 30% of the company's current share capital. That are the three recommendations to the AGM. This is just the story from our side, and now we are very happy to listen to you and to hear your questions.
The next question is a follow-up from Mrs. Caroline Price, Caprice Management. Please go ahead, madam.
Hello. I have a few questions. My first one is regarding the target to reduce the logistics costs. I believe initially you set out to reduce them by 11 million in 2010, and I'm wondering how you measured yourself against that goal. whether there's anything left to save in going forward, or it's all done now. The second question is for the retail, the tobacco sales. On your slide, you show that they increased by 4.3%, and I'm just wondering how much of that increase relates to higher taxes that, you know, then just ended up adversely impacting your margin just from that effect. And then for the trade division, are you already aware of any impacts from any contracts not being renewed, the impact on 2011, and if you're able to quantify that? And then I'll just ask one more for now. It's related to the income from discontinuing operations, which related to releasing a provision that on the Soylent's chip disposal. Are there any other milestones going forward which could cause further provision releases? And if so, could you just describe what those are? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Caroline. I'd take the first three, and I would ask Lorenzo to take the fourth one. The question A is relatively easy to answer. Yes, we fulfilled all our targets in the logistics. We got the 11 million, part of it already in 2009, part of it in 2010. It's a significant part of the 27 million we showed you, and it's a significant reason for the better improvement of the services department, but also the retail department last year. So that's a major stepstone. We finished more or less in the beginning of 2010, and we are seeing nearly all of the effect last year. There's a few ramp-up effects this year, but that's neglectable. So we got all the money there. The tobacco sales is the 4% is mainly due to tax increases. That is correct. We have a slight increase also in volume. So we got a little margin effect on the tobacco, but the main margin improvement came from the bigger portion of food sales, not tobacco sales, but food sales in our assortment. There is no question number three. There is no indication that we're losing any more contracts on the trade divisions. I mean, not significant ones, at least, like Gille and Soylent's. And as I said before, this was a one-time effect because we sold those companies in 2008 with the knowledge that when we're selling them, we will be losing their sales contracts in 2010. So that was a more or less planned loss of distribution contracts in 2010. Okay, Lorenzo, for the fourth question.
Concerning the provision and the item of the discontinuing operation, as you mentioned, we have got the possibility to release 1.9 million, which you see in the discontinuing operation, which is below the EBIT, is not affecting our EBIT of 81.3 million Swiss francs. This was mainly due to the expiration of some guarantees which we have got in 2010. Concerning the question of going forward, we see we have currently all in 9.7 million Swiss francs as provisions. These are long-term provisions which are expiring in 2014 and 2016. Obviously, we will monitor it. We will monitor this provision during the next year.
Okay. And do they relate to disposals that you've made?
Well, the disposal was in
2008.
In 2008. So it's not a disposal which we have got in 2010. So
I understand that. I'm just wondering, you know, when you mentioned that there are, I guess, conditions expiring in, or provisions expiring in 2014, 2016.
Yeah.
Those relate to previous disposals. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Correct.
Okay.
To the sales of the own brands. You know,
it was five companies we sold in 2008, and there are some provisions which now, over time,
will be released if we don't have any claim.
Okay, thank you.
Our typical guarantees with sales of companies.
Okay.
Next question, Mr. Michael Campbell from Perman Investment Partners. Please go ahead, sir.
afternoon, gentlemen. I had a couple of questions. The first one is, I'm looking at slide 11 of the presentation, and I'm just trying to reconcile the cost savings numbers. So it says that there's $1 million of savings in here, and I was looking, trying to compare that with the numbers in the annual report, and it seems like there's about $13 million of savings on the in the services division and $3.8 million for retail. I'm just trying to figure out how those numbers reconcile.
Well, we have more costs in the trade division. That's correct. So we have trade increased their headcount in the Scandinavians because they wanted to increase some more. They really invested in people in the Scandinavian business. That's the reason we have some negative effects on trade.
And the difference between the 10 million on the presentation 11 and the 13 million which you are talking to, the 10 million are operating result, and the 13 million are the IFRS items, so they are not cleaned up by the forex effects
and acquisitions.
Okay,
because you have to understand that obviously we gained cost by acquiring Tabacon and EMH, and we got lower cost by better forex exchange rates. So by equalizing those, and that's what we call comparable, we had 10 million lower cost last year.
Got it. Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. And then the one other question I had was just in regard to the 20 basis points of savings that you had listed as achieving kind of every year on a go-forward basis. So if you kind of pull that forward, it seems like that's, you know, roughly $6 million francs per year. And which is, you know, $30 million over the course of the next 5 years. Is that fair? And I guess where do you see that coming from? If you had to kind of allocate that across the different divisions, what are the big drivers of that savings, the margin enhancement?
The drivers is what we had on page number. Let me go with you to page number 22. You're right. It's $6 million a year. It has obviously to come from all divisions. When you ask me what are the things that we're seeing today, the major ones is retail, which is the agency model, which is $1 million, which is this year, and then $6 million over the years, which is purchasing promotions that can come relatively quickly, hopefully. And then it is obviously ramp-up effects on cost savings, which are coming. Logistics is relatively little, as we talked about before, but we have some other ramp-up effects of the cost measures we have taken last, which then will help having lower cost this year, which is then spread again across all divisions. The services division will have a significant cost reduction program going on. So yes, you're right. $6 million is what we have to get. Again, when we have negative $10 million because we don't have the World Championship, and because we have the negative press market, and we have the forex exchange negative, we need to come up with at least $10 million to be at least last year, and have to be better than this. So $6 million have to come at least from cost.
Great. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Next question, Mr. Patrick Hasenbohler from Bank Sarasin. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. What do you believe are the reasons for the recent acceleration of the slowdown trend of press sale, and why do you think should this trend reverse?
Okay, it's a very good question, and you ask five media companies, you get five different answers. Well, I mean, what we have seen in the last is relatively stable over the last years was -3%, with higher negative decline in newspapers and a lower negative decline in magazines. Since like 5 months, we're having an effect which is not -3%, but -5%. We're seeing this across all German-speaking countries, Austria, Germany, Switzerland, and that we're seeing those -5%. The question is this sustainable, yes or no? And to be very honest, nobody can tell you. We had the same kind of situation already in 2009, where in the first half we had a significant decline in the press, and then in the second half we had a rebound, very good year of 2010. And now we have second decline. So we don't really know whether it's a one-time effect because there's not enough news right now, whether people are spending time differently, whether it's when obviously there is not good product on the market, or whether it's a thing that that has to do with the overall trend. To be very honest, I don't think it's the iPad, and it's that's not the major part. One of the discussions we are having internally is it simply Facebook and the people that people are using their time differently, but I have no clue right now. What we're seeing is we plan for ours as internally with -3% over the next years. If the -5% is sustainable over the next years, we will have to take additional measures in order to overcome this. I'm not saying we're not able to do this, but obviously this increases the threat and increases the power we have to do to overcome with it.
And there's nothing to do with the tablets.
Again, ask five people and get five answers, and there's not a single simple answer. It's my answer right now, what I tell people is, it's not the iPad, it's Facebook. So it's more that people are spending time differently than it is that they're using for information and entertainment. They're going and read the Spiegel in the Internet, or they read the Spiegel on the iPad. That's my reading. And knowing the numbers from the media companies, how much sales and how much they're seeing there, my feeling is rather Facebook than it's iPad.
And if this trend would even accelerate, you think you could still fulfill the 81 million EBIT target in 2011?
Yeah, but that's the reason why we are a little bit cautious with the guidance for 2011. Because what we're saying is we're seeing this negative trend, and that's why we said, okay, we want to be at least as good as last year. We obviously want to be better than last year, but the challenge is up. The challenge is there, no question.
Yeah, but you are cautious for 2011, I agree, but quite still optimistic for 2012.
Yeah, because first of all, we believe that next year a few things will happen. Besides having a world championship or European championship again, we hope that the political situation will be a little bit better. But what is much more important is that when you look at the numbers, we have 3.1 billion external revenues this year, and we will have 3.7 billion revenues next year. So that requires a few acquisitions. So we believe that 110 to 130 is still the numbers to believe in.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Next question, Mr. Kasper Kenner from Zed Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two questions. First of all, you have mentioned that the recent turmoil in Lille has some impact on your business. Maybe you can be a bit more specific about your contract with Tamoil. I understand you have 16 filling stations revamped into the AVEC format by now. The way I understand the contract is that you do not have to take any investments, but rather just delivering the goods. Could you tell a little bit more about that, and maybe also if there is investment needs and risks for potential down or impairments or something like that?
Yeah.
And the second question, if I may, I find it a bit difficult to see what your commitment really is. You know, on the one side, you are willing to return up to 10% of capital to the shareholders, while on the other side you're willing to invest 30% of your market cap by raising it. And we'd probably rather see you, you know, find a deal and then come to the shareholders and ask for the money, also taking into consideration that you probably have some nice debt capacity available. Now, trying to understand, you know, where you're really coming from and where you see the opportunities.
Okay, I will have Lorenzo describe our schizophrenic behavior, but he could tell you about this a little bit. A few words about Libya and Tamoil. Obviously, we don't give you any kind of details on the contract with Tamoil. I think this is not fair, and we would do this. What is correct is that we don't have any kind of investments there, so there is no kind of impairment concerning Tamoil anything. But what is obviously true is that if there is a strike going on, if the Tamil revenues go down significantly because for whatever reason, this will not help us, because we obviously are the operator, so we have to have put people there. It's our people and our cost. So far, we are not seeing it. So far, we are only seeing in the French part of Switzerland a little bit decline, but so far it's not major. But to be very honest, we don't know what is going to happen from here on. So the answer, this answers your question on Libya.
Okay, concerning the second question you asked, basically the answer is getting some flexibility. As you know, the acquisition are not really cannot be really planned. They can come within the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. They can come each year separately. They can come in 1 year, also in an aggregated form. If you have to make a 2 or 3 acquisition in a year, you need some flexibility. On the other side, what we have said is that we have an important building which will be for sale. We might gain some cash from this building, and if we don't need this cash for financing the operation of the company, we will then think about making a capital reduction. This is in order to gain some prove the return on equity of our company. We don't want to have cash which is not invested and which is not giving the return on our shareholder. So this is to read in this way, getting some important flexibility for the strategy of Valora for Growth, for increasing the return on invested capital, not having losing time on some potential acquisitions in the future through an AGM.
Does this answer your question?
Well, kind of. Obviously, I still don't think it doesn't really make me happy, but usually, you know, returning cash and then raising it back usually only makes the investment bankers happy.
Well, first of all, we're not saying we will bring it. We only want to have the opportunity to do it in case we have to react. And I mean, given the fact that we're a company today who wants to acquire between one and one and a half billion revenues in the next years, we want to be sure that our capital structure is flexible enough in order to fulfill this. This is the main message.
And in addition on that, you have to consider that potentially some acquisition might be also financed through some shares because they want to participate on the future upside of Valora. So in order also not to finance potential partner, acquisition partner with just cash, but also with some shares, you need some flexibility in this case.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question is a follow-up from Mr. Caroline Price, Caprice Management. Please, go ahead, madam.
Thank you. Okay, so my next questions are about the organic margin growth efforts. Do you feel that there's anything left on the retail side to come from product mix optimization? And then another question about implementing the agency model with your targets. How much of what would be the main hurdles in achieving your targets, the organic growth from the agency model, and how much of the, let's say, 100 by the end of 2011 additional agencies would you expect to come from completely new outlets, and how many from converting your own ownership to an agency, and could you just talk maybe about strategically, I imagine you must have an idea of the minimum number of own outlets, for example, in Switzerland that you'd want to retain. And then regarding the dividend, is any of it non-taxable from non-taxable reserves with this change in tax law in Switzerland? And if not, do you have a reserve that you can use for that going forward?
Okay. Third question that I give over to my CFO. He is much more able to answer this question. Number one and number two, the retail product mix optimization. I think this is a key challenge for us. And as I said, we increased in the last year 2.5% like-for-like our retail sales, even though we had a negative press market, even though we had at least stable lottery market. So we had been doing a good job, and if you take the other retailers in Switzerland, you know, Switzerland is the biggest part of our retail business, we are much better than they are in the like-for-like performance last year. So taking this trend, we believe that we can do even more, and we have a few more things in hand what we can do in order to increase the revenues, also top line like-for-like. Ideas are non-food, near-food, but also services, and you will probably see a few more products coming on. But our target is, yes, we want to grow like-for-like at least by 2% our top line, also store-by-store in Switzerland by new assortment, making better assortment. And we have done a very good job last year in food, and we want to continue doing so. One thing to help you on this 2% top line, like-for-like...
Oh, sorry? Sorry, I was actually referring to the margin growth, because the 0.2% margin growth, I was wondering if anything there was expected to come further from product mix optimization, if you felt that you've done everything, as much as sort of the major steps
okay.
there.
Okay, sorry, I misunderstood then. Then the 0.2, for me, the 0.2 is the easier, margin mix is the easier job to do than the 2% top line, to be very honest, because we're seeing much more ideas, we have much more ideas in the margin part, like pricing, like assortment mix, like price increases, like the few things which we're seeing here where we can do a better job than we do today. So we feel or to answer the question, simply yes. The more challenging part is staying and keeping this pace of 2% top line growth like for like. That's the more challenging part about it. Given the fact that that press is negative, if you take 5%, you know that 20% of our kiosk business is press. This alone is minus 1%. So you're starting with minus 1% in the kiosk because of press, and then in order to get to plus 2, you have to add plus 3% on the rest. Is that answering your question?
Yes, thank you.
On the second question is on the agency model, and again, this a little bit helps you understanding why we believe there's potential also on the top line, because the agency model is a double win game, a double burger. We're reducing cost by 5%, but also in the stores we are having, we're increasing the sales by 5%. That's what our tests have shown last year, because then you have an entrepreneur there who puts much more pressure on upselling and cross-selling, putting better promotions in place, all these kind of things. So we believe that using and implementing the agency model will also help us not only on the margin part, because it's the cost part, but also on the top line. What is the idea of the ownerships? When I said we want to have 100 by the end of this year, the idea is we will have mainly our own people, which are either the ladies who are today leading the stores, or which are, we call it multi agencies, which can be up to four different agencies, which we give to the regional sales guy. So we will take out one layer in our sales force called the regional managers, and those regional managers will be offered multi agencies. And so at least for the 100 this year, we are very comfortable that it will be either our own salespeople in the stores or those regional sales managers. If you take the next 100 next year and then the other 100 in the years thereafter, it will be that we try to get as much people from internal doing the job and only as an exception taking people from the outside, because we have seen from other companies that you are much more successful if your agency, heads of agencies, are coming from internally because they have more interest in the company, they know the company better. So the bottleneck really will be from next year on to have enough good entrepreneurial people in the stores whom we can give an agency. Is this answering your question, Caroline?
Yeah, so just so I understand correctly then, you keep the rental contracts for these outlets, and
yes,
it's really just converting the model in terms of the earnings for the agents, let's say, as opposed
yeah.
to
Yeah, exactly. The agency model in Switzerland, which is, I mean, for example, I'm from Germany. Germany, there's not an agency model. The agency model works the way as follows: we keeping the rent contracts. We it's our stock. We are more or less giving the agency building an own company of himself, paying her a percentage of sales, and she with this money has to pay the other ladies in the stores. So it's an outsourcing of personnel, but in a way it is like that. but you get much more entrepreneurship into this.
Okay, yes, I understand. Thank you.
Okay, concerning your last question, dividends, yes, dividends are taxable in Switzerland, and basically what you can have is you can make some capital reduction, which are not are tax-free if you want. Valora shows in the annual report 2007 capital reserves of 1.7 million, which might be tax-free. And especially depending if we will do a capital reduction, we will show an instrument which will allow us to take care also about our shareholders, so avoiding as possible taxes.
Okay, so the change in the tax law for 2011 hasn't affected your.
No, because Valora shows just capital reserve of 1.6 million, so we will not change our policy. And in Switzerland currently, the question if it's the law which has been approved will not be changed in the future.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a question for Mr. Hubert Mattet from Laub Investment Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, Thomas. A quick question on the services. You haven't said much about that, and could you just update us about the money transfer, for instance? How is it ramping up? I understood that you had a target to at least open the service in 500 stores by the end of 2011. So is it on track, and is it something meaningful at the EBIT level by the end of the year?
Yeah, the question is simply yes. We have 80 stores up and running. The ramp up curve goes exactly like it is done, for instance, at Naville, which our colleagues in French Switzerland. So we're seeing the ramp up curve as we planned it. We are even planning for mid of the year to have at least 500 stores up and running.
Okay, and is that included in when we read slide 25? Included in the 60 million per annum of additional revenues?
No, because we see MoneyGram is this little footnote. The 50 million is last year, 2010. This is obviously this was other services in the last years. What we had telephony, we had PaySafe cards, we had travel. MoneyGram, obviously, a money transfer isn't in it yet because we started only in February this year. So it is part. It will be as a part of margin increase because you only see the provisions in our revenues at the end.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I fully understood. In the 60 million per annum.
In the 60. Yes, but only the provision.
What do you mean by the provision?
Well, obviously the money transfer has a face value. I mean,
right.
Is
the net commission including the 60 million, or
yes.
is it the gross?
No,
money transfer.
No, it's only the net commission. Only the net commission.
Okay, so the net commission is going straight to the EBIT.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Okay. Second question, quickly. On the target for transforming the kiosk business model into an entrepreneur model, how many, I haven't got that in my mind, how many kiosks are you targeting at the end of the process?
Well, we have set on page number 2023, by 2015 we want to have 300 of the 1,000 stores, 30% we want to have as an agency model.
Yes, but I got that all right, obviously. But does it mean that it is the maximum you want to have, or you want to go further?
Well, I mean, let's. We know that Naville, after 4 years, was at 40%, 30 or 40%. They even want to go to 100%. I mean, given the fact that we believe there is a bottleneck in getting enough entrepreneurial people, we believe the 300 is a correct target for 2015. If this whole thing begets an own, it's a kind of own movement internally, we are obviously free and willing to do more than this, but because it's a win-win system. So,
let's put it in other terms. Do you think that this 300 kiosk is are the ones which are less performing, therefore it wouldn't be meaningful to go beyond, or is it something which is reflecting the bottleneck you talked about?
You know, it's only reflecting the bottleneck. It's not. I mean, there's we are starting. If you go on page 24, we have illustrated how we going forward first, using the ones which are in the benchmark, either the small ones or the ones which are below the benchmark in terms of productivity. But once those are converted, there's no reason to use the others, bring the others in the model as well, if you have enough entrepreneurial people on board.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much.
Gentlemen, there are no more registrations at this time. Thank you very much.
Well, then, thank you all very much. Have a nice weekend, and I hope to see you all one of these days again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing the Chorus Call facility, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.